This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
It's a blessing to be able to be together. You're welcome to take your seats. I'm so grateful. What an awesome word. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about what God is doing? Come on, I'm excited. I'm excited about what Jesus is doing right now on the earth. And I'm so excited about just being together right here in the presence of God with other believers. That is really, really exciting. But we are starting our brand new series today. And if you are maybe watching for the first time, I want to ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can get these messages regularly. And it's easy for you to do that. But also, just for us, just even as we come together today, as you are here in the room, I believe that God wants to do something right now in your life. I believe God wants to enlarge your capacity to receive from Him. And we're right now in the middle of a season where we find ourselves in quite a complicated time in the history of mankind. A time where people are doubting, a time where people are full of fear, a time where people are lacking faith, a time where people are struggling to know that God is with them, a time where there's famine. Have you ever faced famine? This is a famine season. Many of you might say, but Mark, no worries, my bank account is quite good, no worries, I don't worry about famine. No, there's other forms of famine in this time right now. There's a famine of hope in the world today. There's a famine of faith in the world today. There's a famine of joy in the world today. There's a famine of peace. And if you face any form of famine, today I've got amazing news for you, is that Jesus Christ is not just enough for you, He's more than enough for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is with us. And you might be in the season where you say, but I don't know if there'll be enough. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be enough finances. I don't know if there's going to be enough time. I don't know if there's going to be enough opportunities. I don't know if there's going to be enough hope. You might feel like a hopeless situation. I've got amazing news for you, that Jesus Christ is more than enough for you. And I believe that there's some people in this time that you actually been saying, I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. I've got to navigate too many changes. It comes to my kids, my family, my marriage, my work situation, my business, my career, my studies. I'm not enough. I've got awesome news for you. You don't have to be enough because He is more than enough. Come on, can you give Him praise for that? That's amazing. And so we're going into this 6-part series on the fact that Christ is not just enough, but He's more than enough. And this is what I love, is that He's not just enough, He's more than enough. Now, if you want to understand Christ as more than enough, there's a reality that we need to lay today as a foundation in order to understand the all-sufficiency of Christ, the more than enoughness of Christ. That's a word that I created. The more than enoughness of Christ, the all-sufficiency of Christ. If you want to understand the all-sufficiency of Christ, you need to understand the supremacy of Christ. And if you're looking for the title of my message today, it's called The Supremacy of Christ. Now, Genesis chapter 17, God reveals Himself to Abraham, and you must understand, right through the Scriptures, God revealed Himself in various forms and in various ways. Now, this is very powerful, because what God did is God showed His character. So when He said, I am El Shaddai, He says, I am the God that's almighty, I'm the God that's more than enough. When He said, I am El Elyon, He said, I am above all, I'm the God that is most high, El Elyon. The God Most High, isn't it powerful? He's the all-sufficient one, and He's the one that's above all. Now, El Elyon means that there's nothing and no one above God. El Elyon. But then in the light of El Elyon, knowing that He's above all, that empowers us to know that He's El Shaddai, the one that is all-sufficient, that's more than enough. So the more than enoughness flows from the above allness. Sorry, I'm making words here. You're going to never forget this. But the more than enoughness of God flows from the above allness of God. Okay, so don't worry. I'm making a new English language. But this is powerful. Why? Because I see so many people want God to be enough for them. So many people want God to provide for them. But if you don't believe that God can, if you don't believe that God's above everything, if you don't believe that God can do it, why will you trust Him for it? Come on! This is what I find with so many people. The reason why they don't trust God for things is they don't believe that God can. They don't believe God's above. They believe the situation they're facing is bigger than the God that they have. That was the difference between David and Saul. David saw God and Saul saw a giant. Instead of telling your God how big your problems are, tell your problems how big your God is. See, if you understand the bigness of God, you can understand the faithfulness of God. If you understand the awesomeness of God, you can understand the all-sufficiency of God. And so we cannot go into the more than enough without laying the foundation that Christ is supreme, that Christ is above all. A.W. Tozer said this. Now you must understand, we've been studying as a church this whole reality of the Father, knowing that the destination of Christianity is not heaven, but it's the Father. And no one come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And A.W. Tozer said this, whether they believe it or not, Jesus is equal with God. Jesus has always existed in heaven. Jesus is a self-existent supreme being. Wow, Tozer, I like this guy. I love what he says. Jesus is a self-existent supreme being. He's above everything. Now, we're going to go through the book of Colossians. We're going to take some key truths out of the book of Colossians. And we're going to grow in the all-sufficiency, the more than enough God that we have, this Christ that is more than enough for us. But in order to understand how he's more than enough, we need to understand how he's above all. It says in verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. See, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You must understand that Christ is the image, the expression of the invisible God. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Amen? Verse 16 of Colossians 1 says, in him, can you say in him? Now you're going to get a revelation today about Christ. In him all things were created. So in Christ all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him, watch this, and for him. Wow. All things were created in him, they were created through him, and for him. Now, if you don't understand this, then you're going to think that what happens when a government makes a decision, you think that that is supreme. No, no, no. That is subject to the supremacy of Christ. Nothing is above Christ. No one is above Christ. And here's the thing. If you don't understand that your life was not created for yourself or your life was not created for another person, and I'm talking to the parents right now, I'm talking to the husbands and the wives right now, I'm talking to the people that are thinking, my life's about pleasing others, my life's about helping others. No, no, your life is number one for the glory of him. Your life exists for him. You were created by him and you were created for him. If you want to find the meaning of life, understand why you've been created and who you were created for. It'll set you free. It'll set you free. All things have been created through him and for him. Now, Abraham Kuyper said the following, and this is so powerful. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine! There's nothing on the planet over which Christ does not say, that's mine. I love it. I love her. She's mine. He's mine. Nothing on this planet is not his. Everything has been created for him and through him. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Oof, you need to get this revelation. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now watch this. There's something that happens right now. You need to understand that every atom is held together by Christ. Every single thing that you see, everything on the planet is held together by Christ. The Bible says he holds it together by the word of his power. Everything is held together by Christ. You might say, but Mark, it feels like my life is falling apart. It can be held together by Christ. You might say, but Mark, my marriage is falling apart. Your marriage can be held together by Christ. If you bring your marriage under the lordship of Christ, under the supremacy, the awesomeness of Christ, He holds it together. Your future can be held together by Christ. Your life is in Him. Amen? Wow. My destiny is held together. Even this church, City on Hill Church, we are held together by Christ. It's His church. We're not able to be in the same building together like we used to, but we're still held together. Amen? Now, it's amazing how many people believed that the earth was flat and that the sun revolved around the earth, right? I've said this many times before. It's such a powerful thing that they used to believe in history that the sun revolved around the earth. The earth was flat. Now, some people still believe that. Okay. No. That's what it means if you are uninformed. It doesn't change the reality. Just because you believe the earth is flat and the sun doesn't mean that that's the truth. That's, you are subjectively believing a lie. So the difference between a Christ follower and someone that does not follow Christ is a Christ follower has just recognized or he has discovered the truth. The truth is that the sun is at the center of our solar system and the earth and all the planets revolve around the sun. The same happens. The Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the One that's more than enough, the all-sufficient Savior, the Supreme One, the One that is above it all. He's in the center. And when He's in the center of our lives, everything orbits around it and everything is held together. If you take the sun out, all the planets will just start going all over the show. Why? Because the sun has got a gravitational pull that pulls the planets together. Why is your life a mess if you're far from God? Because you don't have the Son of Righteousness in the center of your life, holding your life together. Christ is at the center. It says in verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. Now, I want to speak about John Piper. John Piper used this, like the short video clip that John Piper spoke about the supremacy of Christ and how Christ is supreme in eternity. Christ is supreme in everything. And when you understand the supremacy of Christ, your life makes sense.
My prayer is that you will know, that you will press on to know the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of His deity, equal with God the Father in all of His attributes, the radiance of His glory and the exact image of His nature, the supremacy of His eternality that makes the mind want to explode with the imponderable thought that Jesus Christ never had a beginning. He is simply there, absolute reality with which we reckon. We must rise to the supremacy of His eternality. While all the universe, including this building and your body and this earth and all the galaxies, are fragile, contingent, like a shadow in comparison to the substance of Jesus Christ. We must know the supremacy of His never-changing constancy. Oh, to have virtues that never change, a character whose commitment is constant, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us know the supremacy of His constancy. And let us know the supremacy of His knowledge that makes the Library of Congress look like a matchbox and makes all the information on the internet look like a 1940s farmer's almanac. And makes all of quantum physics and everything that Stephen Hawking has ever dreamed look like a first grade reader. We must know the supremacy of the knowledge of our Lord. We must know the supremacy of His wisdom that has never been perplexed by any problem whatsoever, nor can he be counseled by any person or any being in the universe. We must know the supremacy of his authority. All authority is mine in heaven and on earth and under the earth. No change. All authority. Changing times and seasons, removing kings, setting up kings, doing according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" We must know the supremacy of his providence, without which not a single bird in the extended reaches of the Amazon forest has ever fallen off of any limb, and without which not one hair turns white or black. We must know the providence of Jesus. We must know the supremacy of his word, which upholds the universe by the word of his power. All the galaxies, molecules, atoms, and subatomic reality nobody has yet dreamed of down there where no one has yet looked. We must know the supremacy of his power to walk on water and cleanse lepers and heal the lame and open the eyes of the blind and open the ears of the deaf and cause storms to cease, and with two words to raise the dead, "Lazarus, come forth," or one word to raise the dead, "In your blood I said to you, live." We must know the supremacy of his power. We must know the supremacy of his purity. He never sinned. He never sinned. He never had one millisecond of a bad attitude or a sinful lust. We must know the supremacy of his trustworthiness. He never breaks a promise. He always keeps his word, absolutely without fail. We must know the supremacy of his justice. He will render all accounts settled in the end, in the universe, either on the cross or in hell. No injustice will remain when Christ is finished with his supreme justice.
I want to ask you, is Jesus Christ supreme in your life? Sometimes look at my attitude and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I need to bring that attitude to the supremacy of Christ. I sometimes look at my selfishness and I have to bring that under the supremacy of Christ. Sometimes look at the way that I'm dealing with my wife. I need to bring that under the supremacy of Christ. Sometimes look at how I'm interacting with people that are not like me. Maybe different culture than me. Maybe even a different different background than me. Maybe a different language. I'm thinking sometimes just a different language. Lord, I need to bring that under the supremacy of Christ. Even economic standings, different economic standings, bring that under the supremacy of Christ. And you know what I realized? We listen to ourselves too much and we don't talk to ourselves enough. John Piper said this. Most of your unhappiness in life comes from the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Come on. You're listening to yourself too much and you're not talking to yourself enough. Now, don't look at me. Don't all say amen right now, because this is, we can all say amen. Because you know what I do? I think of all the stuff that I've heard, and I think of all the doomsayers, and I think of the news, and I think of the stories and the gossip stories and the fears and all the stuff, you know, the conspiracy theories. And then I start talking to myself. I start listening to myself. You know what I'm doing? I'm listening to the lies. Now, you know what? I think in this season, if you want Jesus to be more than enough, you need to start talking to yourself. Tell yourself how great your God is. Tell yourself how good your God is. Tell yourself how faithful your God is. Tell yourself how loving your God is. Tell yourself the truth. Speak the truth, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. We need to say, Jesus Christ, when he was tempted of the devil, he said, it is written. You need to say, it is written. You need to speak to yourself in times like these. You need to say, but God is above this. Yes, it's a giant ahead of me. Yes, his name might be financial lack. Yes, his name might be sickness. Yes, his name might be the relational breakdown. I don't know what his name is, but I know one thing. I can speak truth to myself. Come on, can you give him praise right now? It says in verse 19 of Colossians 1, it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ. Now God said this to me. He said, Mark, for you to understand the power of that, you need to understand this. When you are in Christ, you are in the fullness of God. I'm going to say it again. If you're in Christ, because all the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and if you are in Christ, you are in the fullness of God. That means anything that we need is in Christ. Anything that we lack is in Christ. Every insecurity can be canceled out by the security we find in Christ. Every lie that we believe can be canceled out by the truth we find in Christ. Why? When you and I find ourselves in Christ, what happens? We are in the fullness of God. And the fullness of God, the awesomeness of God, the supremacy of God becomes our reality. Friends, it's not about you and me trying to be more of ourselves. Actually, we must decrease so that he can increase. It's when we come out of ourselves and we come into Christ. It's when we take a stand and say, Lord, I want to be in you. I want to find my life in you. I want to put myself in Christ, because it's in Christ where all the fullness of God dwells. Whatever you need, if you need him to be El Shaddai, if you need him to be Jehovah Jireh, your provider, if you need him to be Jehovah Nissi, the one that fights for you, if you need him to be anything in your life, put yourself in him. Find your life in Christ. That's what this whole series is about. Verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2 says this. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. I'd love to encourage you today, if I could give you some homework, go and study Philippians chapter 2. It's powerful. About this awesome Christ that's willing to humble himself and then gets given the name above all names. Now, you must understand, the reason why he was given the name above all names is because we name things. Names are connections. Names mean something. If you say that you have if you're claustrophobic, then that means you've got a name for a fear that you experience. If you're arachnophobic, I've learned this from my kids, you're scared of spiders. So they give every fear a name. They give every sickness a name. They give every crisis a name. They give every pandemic a name. They even give every catastrophe in the history of mankind a name. They give every ruler a name. They give every country a name. That means Jesus Christ had to have the name that's above every name. Jesus Christ was given the name that's above every name. That means at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? He's the name above all names. If you can have this revelation today, you'll understand that he is more than enough. He can only be more than enough if you know that he's above everything you face. If he's not above everything you face, he's not more than enough. He's just maybe enough. Sickness has to bow to the name of Jesus. Fear has to bow to the name of Jesus. Financial lack has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? Uncertainty has to bow at the name of Jesus. Pride, friends, pride is a name. Pride has to bow at the name of Jesus. Anger, if you've ever faced anger, I know none of you struggle with anger, but if you've ever faced anger, I've got amazing news for you. Anger is a name. And there's a name above that name. His name is Jesus. Can you say the name of Jesus? Just there where you are in your room or right here. Can you just say the name of Jesus? Jesus. 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 Woo! Jesus. Wow. Everything is held together by Him. Everything is for Him. And in Him, everything holds together. And He has the last word. I want to talk to you about supreme. You know, you get different courts in some countries. In our country, you have like a magistrate court, and then you get the Supreme Court. How many of you know that you can be found guilty at a magistrate level, and you can appeal that verdict, you can appeal that to a Supreme Court, and what they decide in the Supreme Court can override a lower court? It happened in the book of Acts when Paul was in front of one ruler and he said, "No, I appeal to Caesar. I appeal to a higher court. I appeal to a higher authority." When you appeal to a higher authority, guess what happens? That higher authority can override this authority. Now, I don't understand the judicial system, so if I've got it wrong, please don't slap me. This is the principle. The principle is this, is there's a court and there's another court. There's a certain court that can that they only have authority locally, but there's a Supreme Court that's got authority over all. And here's what I want to say today. There's courts on the earth, and then there's a heavenly court, a Supreme Court. His name is Jesus. He's the advocate above all. He's the one that sits at the Father's right hand interceding for us. And you know what happens, friends? If you and I have problems here on the earth, you know what we need to do? We need to bring these issues to this authority. That trumps every authority, that overrides every lie of the enemy, that overrides every fear that you might face. He can override it. Why? Because He's got supreme authority. Now, I don't know about you, but I've experienced something like this. Just a few months ago, I got a phone call to say that they are evicting all of the tenants that we had at this one property. They're evicting. They actually wrote a letter, a legal document of eviction, an eviction notice on this property. Now, I don't know about you, but I wanted to express myself weirdly, but I mean, I was shaking in my shoes. That's stating it mildly. Just to be honest with you. Because you don't know, you understand, like, an eviction notice is very serious. So I had a document, a legal document, forcing me to evacuate a property. So I went to the court, the heavenly one first, to Jesus Christ. Before I went to the physical one, I went to my King of Kings, my Lord of Lords. And I remember I took 30 minutes out. I switched my phone off and I went into the throne of heaven. And I said, "Lord Jesus, please be merciful to me. I did everything I know how. I felt like I did everything right. Now I'm getting this onslaught, this physical, this attack literally in this realm." And I'm like, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You." Have you ever experienced that? So guess what happened? The Lord said to me, "Just take the document you have, proving that what you did was legal," because we had to get a document, a zoning document that proved that everything was legal. "Just take that document and go and show it to them." There's, friends, let me explain it to you. There was a document, and then I had the document. Can I explain this to you? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I had an eviction notice, but then I had a higher authority. This authority was a registered legal document that took 2 years to obtain. It was a decent, 100% legal, watertight document. I took that document to the organization that wanted to evict us. And when I showed them that document, they were like, and they apologized profusely. And I saw them cancel the document that they issued me earlier that day. In front of my eyes, I said, "You show me how you cancel it." And they said, "Please forgive us. We made a mistake, Mr. Bailey. We made a mistake. Sorry, it was not updated on our system, so we made a mistake. Please, please, we apologize for your inconvenience." They started apologizing to me because I had an authority that was higher than their authority. Can you give Him praise? Come on. Now I want to ask you, what eviction notice have you been served? And I'm really, right now, you in this room today, what eviction notice have you been served? Have you been served an eviction notice of illness? Have you been served an eviction notice of despair, of depression? Have you been served an eviction notice of fear or of worry or of anxiety? Have you been served an eviction notice? I've got awesome news for you. You've got a document. This document is higher than any eviction notice that you've ever faced. I'm telling you today. If you say, but I'm alone, this document says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you say, but I'm not enough, then this document says, when you're weak, I'm strong for you. And when you say, but I don't have enough, then God says, I'll be more than enough for you. If you say, no, but the lies are coming, then this document says, truth will set you free. I want to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to get into just a time of response. But today, if you're far from God here, I want to ask you to type in the comment section, F-A-R, far, and I'd like us to follow up with you. But if you're close to God, today is your opportunity to talk to yourself. Just as the band comes up, I want to pray for you right there where you are. Lord, I want to pray for every man and woman that watch this message today, that we would know that we know that we know that you are supreme, the supremacy of Christ, that we would have a fresh revelation of the supremacy, of the awesomeness, of the faithfulness of God, the supremacy of Christ. And we would know that there's no name above your name, that you've exalted your word above your name. And that means that when your word says it, it's above every other verdict, every other eviction notice. And I don't know about you, but if you right there are, you've been facing an eviction notice, you've been facing a fear, a struggle, a shortage, a lack, a lie. Could I ask you to come to the highest authority this morning? Will you stop listening to yourself? And will you start speaking to yourself?
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.